hearts to receive the word this morning, let's welcome Virgil to bless us.
They think they can go through it all. You can do the same for them, just like you did for me, Lord. I know you need somebody, oh yeah. I know you need somebody, oh yeah. You got to have somebody, Lord. You can depend on me. The harvest is ripe, oh, but the labors are few. We make you this promise right now. We'll do what you ask us to do. We're gonna speak your name, and we'll never ever be ashamed. No, I know you need somebody. Oh yeah, I know you need somebody. Oh yeah, you got to have somebody, Lord. You can depend on me. You can depend on me. You can depend on me, Jesus. You can depend on me, Jesus. I know you need somebody. Oh yeah, I know you need somebody. Oh yeah, you got to have somebody, Lord. You can depend on me. I know you need somebody. I know you need somebody. Oh yeah, I know you need somebody. Oh yeah, you got to have somebody, Lord. You can depend on me.
Amen. It's time for the word of God. Amen. Oh, it's time for the word of God. I know that I am ready, and I trust that you are ready. So Kolibu, let's stand to our feet and let's welcome our prophet, Pastor Chris.
Praise the Lord. Father, we give you praise for a great morning. To be in the best place we could ever decide to be. Thank you for your wisdom, for your direction, for your guidance. And now as we listen to the word, we receive this direction for our lives, that things will always just get better and move us forward. In Jesus' wonderful name we thank you. Amen. You may all be seated, and very good morning. LP Marlin, where are you? Right. LP Marlin is back with us. She has been given an assignment, so I'm sure she's here to fulfill that. Are you going out with the children? You can take them now. Beautiful. Well, the rest of you, pay attention to me. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Are you happy? Praise the Lord. We are blessed to be here. And we will learn something very powerful and important this morning. Amen. We are October month, as Pastor Robin rightfully said, is the season of loyalty teachings. Because it's so important that we must unmask the enemy's strategies Amen. Most churches are very small and not growing because they don't understand how the enemy works to break down the church. The enemy does the opposite of what God does. God said in the word, I will build my church. But the enemy says, no, I will break down the church. Do you understand? And the enemy uses things that, no. What is the problem? Okay, take it out quickly. We have more than one church, so they use some of the equipment here to the other churches. It's not a problem, isn't it? Hallelujah. God wants us to have many churches. Amen. I want to encourage you all to try to come to the camp. I believe the Lord gave me a great word for the camp. That's some weeks from now, but very, very important. And then next week, we will have our loyalty teachings and trainings here. Amen. Glory to God. How many of you enjoyed the visit of my friend, Pastor Bishop Patrick from Madagascar? Now, I had a very important meeting yesterday with my pastors and my leaders. And I explained to them that it is now a new season in the life of the church. But it's not really a season, it's a dimension. Amen. It might be a new season for you or for the church. They'll fix it, I'm sure. You can't sit and look at something that's not working. You must think, what is it that's not working, and try to fix it with little distractions, please, in the name of the Lord. All right, don't focus there. Look here. Distraction is the enemy's greatest weapon. Do you know that? I mean, many of you were on your way to something great and you were distracted, and that's why you didn't accomplish it. Always focus on where you are going. Don't be distracted from what God had intended to give to you. But I was saying that you can switch off all the other equipment and just keep me on and keep Frank and Sedwin on. All right. Are you here? How many of you attended the conference in Elsie's River? Were you blessed? Wow, it was powerful. The man of God that came here last week, it was really divine. And the man of God who came a few weeks ago, Dr. Mike Brown, was also very divine. So these encounters are very important for us and for your life as well. If you miss it, you miss something very great. But they spoke to me and they spoke about a new dimension that God is taking my ministry into. And they explained carefully that the dimension is different to a season. Seasons come and seasons go. But with dimensions, you move from a 2D to 3D. How many of you know dimension? 3D. And you also get 4D. Isn't it? You get televisions, 4D and 3D. You can see all around. Amen? So it's a new dimension. And the important thing of this church here, more than the other churches, is that this message that I preach here is the podcast message. Are you listening? Because of the equipment we have, they record this message and it goes immediately onto your phones tomorrow morning if you want to listen to it again or share it with friends. There are people listening to me in many countries of the world. Amen. The new dimension. With the new dimension comes new things. Hallelujah. How many like new things? Yeah. If you can get something new, it's nice, isn't it? How many like gifts? How many like second-hand gifts? Who likes new gifts? Beautiful. Amen. So God is about to do new things in your life. And God is bringing new gifts to your life. Amen. Now, as I look over my life, I am so blessed how God has journeyed with us and brought us even to this place now where we are as a family and me as a person. I have a fair level of success by the grace of God. Amen. I can't say to people only listen to me. I say to them, look at me. Some people can only say, listen to me. Do what I tell you. Don't do what I show you. No. You must be able to say, do what I say and do what I do. I write to you this great word in the book of Acts opens up by saying, I write to you another account, Theophilus, of what Jesus came both to teach and to do. Amen. Do you know some parents tell the children, do what I tell you to do, but don't do what I do. Hey, means your life is not what you say. You are a hypocrite. Would you like to be a hypocrite? What you say must be what you do. Amen. That's why Brandon kept up the book, Those Who Pretend. Many people are pretenders. Amen. May you never be a pretender. You see, God hates pretense and hypocrisy. God, it's the thing God hates the most, I'll tell you. Jesus was a very nice pastor and a great preacher. But when he spoke to the Pharisees about their pretense, he got angry. He said, you hypocrites. John the Baptist, yeah, he called them also, you a lot of snakes. Hey, God hates lies and pretending. Amen. God really hates it. That's why God says, the Bible says, God is not the man that he should lie. Anyway, back to this new dimension. So in our meeting, we carefully explain that there will be new things happening at BMI, but it will be things to take us further and forward. Amen. Who'd like to go forward and not backward? Yeah, we're going forward. So that's why you'll see some changes, new ministries, new everything, new targets. We have now brought the 7 churches and we make them only 4 now with the idea of expanding them and then releasing the churches again. So all these churches have targets and Pastor Robin has a target. He should have a certain number of people here at a certain date. How he's going to do it, I don't know. It should happen. So he will brainstorm with some of you that can help him move forward. Are you with me? You need to attach yourself to somebody's dream. If you don't have a dream that is mega, then you attach yourself to somebody with such a dream and make that person's dream your dream. Are you listening? And in doing so, you also rise. If you are not attached anywhere, you won't become much. Amen. So as I was preaching in the other churches and wherever God leads me, I can now not say what I say only, but what I do. Hallelujah. And how God has blessed. And I want to share also always with you my experiences and also how you can have what I have. Amen. Jesus Christ is our greatest leader, our greatest example. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that you can have what I have also. That's the reason why I said, so that you can be where I am also. I don't want to experience the joy of blessing and then I look down and see my children are not blessed. A good father would like to see his children also blessed. Amen. But if the children leave the house and they go into the prodigal fields, they are far from the father. Those who are near to the father, everything that is the father's is also theirs. Glory to God. So what I'm doing in my teaching, I'm giving you fine principles that can make your life better than what it ever was. The only problem is, depending on how you obey what I say, you will see the success or the failure of your life. Oh, it's as simple as that. You should say amen to that. Depending on how you receive my instruction, you are guaranteed to see success. Because the same thing that was is the same thing that will be, and it is the thing that will come. Hallelujah. So this morning, I'm going to teach you a very powerful lesson on loyalty. But it's taken from the book of Ruth, and I want to show you how Ruth was loyal to her mother-in-law Naomi, and how that loyalty has many lessons for us to learn. Amen. And I'm sure I probably won't finish it this morning, but if we don't finish, we will continue. There are deep, powerful principles for you to learn, and you can have the success that Ruth had if you do the things that Ruth did. Glory to God. Loyalty means faithfulness. Amen. If you have Bibles, my sermon this morning is called Press On. It's called Press On. Press On Towards a Better Tomorrow. Wow, isn't that a powerful title? Press On Towards a Better Tomorrow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I bring greetings from Jason in Greenville, South Carolina. He hears all the preaching because all he does is just put on the podcast and he can hear. From November month, this church will be on live TV. Okay, so that's why Pastor Robin also has to do a lot of work to make this church beautiful. So there will be a camera there, a camera looking at all of you, will span you, and then a third, three angles of cameras. Maybe four, we're not sure. We are going live on Facebook so the people in other countries can listen and receive. So when I'm preaching here in the morning, it's night in other places. Are you listening? Powerful. You're all going to be movie stars. Isn't it powerful? And then even after the service, Jamie or one of the TV announcers will pull one of you aside for an interview. Say, how did you find the service this morning? Then you have to speak up, okay? Is it exciting? New dimension. Say new dimension. Aye. It's powerful. Isaiah 43 verse 18. What is the site title? It's called Pressing On Towards a Better Tomorrow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to see you full of joy and full of happiness. There's no father who likes to see sad children, isn't it? When my son is sad, my son or daughter, it also hurts me. It touches my heart when they're sad. And I can sense when they speak if something's not right. I'm not close to being compared to God. So if I, that is an evil man, know how to do good things for my children, the Bible says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to you who ask Him? Yes, I'm an evil man. We are all evil. Luke 13 says, so if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to you? And God has come and promised to bless you and to give you good gifts. All He needs of you and all He's ever required of you is obedience. Wow. That's a very powerful statement. Never forget it. All God ever required of you is obedience. It's all. As for blessing, He will bless you. As for helping, He will help you. As for taking you over, He will take you over. All you need to do is what? Obey. Obey. Right, let's read this wonderful scriptures. No. Who's at the projector? 43:18. It's a birthday boy today. Bevan, isn't it? It's his birthday. Wonderful. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Go a little further, yes? I will do a new thing. Say new thing. New thing. Hallelujah. A new thing is nice, huh? Would like a new car. I mean, our cars are nice, but a new car where nobody's sat in is nice, isn't it? You smell the leather. I mean, ladies love new clothes. That I can guarantee you. Because they have a lot of clothes, but they still just buy because I think something new, I don't know what is it, but something new is nice. Even if they just wear it once, they don't want it anymore. They want new things. And God is bringing new things to you. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this message. I was never as excited, I think, about the where the church is in the season as now. Because Bishop Patrick told me some things. He said it in front of all of you, but not everybody receives the same word. He revealed some things to me that just opened my heart to God's, what God is going to do. Hallelujah. He explained faith and belief. He's a God-sent man. He's a God-sent man, I'm telling you. What a blessing to have such a great man to pass through our church. Our church will never be the same again. A man with multiple numbers of people. They can't handle it. They have to do more than 4 or 5 services. A new thing. Say new thing. It shall come forth. No, no, no. Put in a nice version, man. The guy's birthday, but his Lord touches me. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Aye! It is begun. The fact that you're sitting here is the beginning of a new thing. Yeah. You're receiving the word, and this word is going to change you. Yeah. The word transforms. Hayaka! I'm so sorry. We made new banners here, and somehow some people didn't do their duties, so the banners are not here. So I always like to present new things to you. But by next week, you will always be here. I don't like a boring setup like this. Do you like boring? I don't do boring. I said, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Ooh. Do you not see it? Do you know many people don't see what God is doing? I mean, if you saw what God is doing, you would have stuck so close to Pastor Chris. But you don't see it, so you don't. You prefer sometimes this. I'll show you now how Ruth clung to somebody who gave her the brightest future she could ever imagine. You don't, most of you do not understand the principles of loyalty. But from today, I pray that your minds will open. Your hearts will receive. And you see the blessing. There's a blessing attached to loyalty. It's no wonder Satan doesn't want you to understand it. Satan wants to confuse you, distract you, because once you grasp it, you see the secrets of your prosperity is locked up in faithfulness to God. When Satan was cast out of heaven, he lost all the glory, the blessings, the benefits, everything. He lost it. Because he wasn't close to the one that could bless him. Hallelujah. Hey, let's read verse 20. I'm not even sure where I must go. No, no, no. Leave that. That's all right. No, right, right. Now, go to Philippians 3:13. Philippians 3:13. This is a powerful message. I'm telling you. You can even preach this wherever you go. The people will say you are a powerful preacher. Philippians 3:13. He says, I focus, brothers and sisters, I have not yet achieved. No? I have not yet achieved. But I focus, say focus, on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Kambo, shaya, kamba. Now, listen, this is very important. This is crucial. Today is the day of your new beginning, new things. Say new things, new things. He says, you see, focus. Mike Murdoch talks about the law of focus. It's one of the greatest laws for your life. If you can stay focused, you can accomplish your goal. You see, Jesus Christ came to die for all of us. But when he was coming close to the cross, many people tried to distract him from going there, including Peter, including his disciples, including his mother. They were all, but he stayed focused. So much that he rebuked Peter, said, no, don't distract me, Peter. I've come to go to this cross to die for the sins of all mankind. I'm sure many of you started in a good way, in a great direction, but something distracted you. That's why distraction is the enemy of focus. You can hear my wisdom is flowing. I walked through the Wisdom Center in Texas. And when I was there, I felt something come on me in the aisle. I tell you. And I stopped the old man. I said, Mr. Old Man, just wait. I need to pray. And I started to pray because I felt the Holy Spirit's power. And even when I left, one of the ladies said, may the wisdom of the Wisdom Center not depart from you. The enemy of focus is distraction. And the devil's greatest weapon is distraction. Are you varsity students? You are focused on completing your degree. Let me tell you something. Distraction is your greatest enemy. Do not get involved in the distraction that will come to you at campus for something else. It could be a boyfriend that you're not supposed to be focused on. You must keep your mind on completing your studies. That's your focus. I'm still here. Verse 14. I press on. Say press on. To reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize. Kamash. For which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. I press on. Say, press on. Wow. Do you feel that you are moving and pressing forward? Right. Now, I wish I can read the whole story of Ruth, but it will take too long and there's not enough time. But I'm going to paraphrase it. But let me just read this verse. Ruth 4. Ruth 4. Verse, what is this verse? Verse 13 to 22 maybe. Listen to this powerful scripture. I'm not sure how many of you know the story. What did I say? Ruth 4. Yeah. It says, Boaz took Ruth into his home, and she became his wife. When he slept with her, the Lord enabled her to become pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. Then the woman of the town said to the Omi, which was the grandmother of the mother-in-law of Ruth, they said to her, praise the Lord, who has now provided a redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in Israel. May he restore your youth and care for you in your old age. For he is the son of your daughter-in-law. Now listen to this powerful statement. The daughter-in-law who loves you and has been better to you than 7 sons. May he restore your youth and care for you in your old age. For ye, this baby, is the son of your daughter-in-law, the one who loves you and who has been better to you than 7 sons. Go to chapter 3, verse 4, verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10. In the NLT, I want to show you the word loyalty. The Lord bless you, my daughter, Boaz said to her. You are showing more family loyalty now than you ever did before. Because you have not gone after a younger man, whether he was rich or whether he was poor. Glory to God. Now, friends and family, listen to me. To read the chapter, the book of Ruth is only 4 chapters. And it's one of the great books in the days of the judges of Israel. Israel was at some stage ruled by judges. And then they started to ask God for a king. But in the days of the judges, we get people like Samson, Gideon, and others. But this is a story of in the days of the judges, there was a woman called Naomi. She was married to Elimelech. And they moved to another place to go and live there, a country called Moab. Are you listening? And then they had two sons, and their sons grew up, and the sons married the daughters of Moab. One of those daughters is called Ruth. What was the other one? Oprah or something. Oprah. Oprah. You know Oprah? It was Oprah. It's of Orpah. I think it's Orpah, but it's close to Oprah. Orpah. It's verse 1 or so. You can go there. With chapter 1, verse 1. So she'd say married, but now, yeah, here's a bitterness that happens to Naomi. Her husband died. So she was left with her two sons and her two daughters-in-law. And then somehow, her own sons also died. So her husband died and her sons died. So she was left with the two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. And then because she was, they came from Israel, from Judah, she decided, look, I'm going to return. Now that my husband is dead, I'm going to return back to my home country. And the two daughters-in-law said, we will go. We will then go with you, because they were just used to living as a family together. Are you with me? But as she journeyed, she turned around and said, listen, I think you guys must stay here. Stay here because you come from this country called Moab. And even if I have children for you to marry again, you're going to have to wait long. And when the children are grown, you're already old mamas, and the children wouldn't want to get married to you. It was a very family type of situation in this book. All right? And then the Bible says that the one daughter turned back, Orpah. But Ruth said, I cannot leave you. You see? It's a book on loyalty. Let me show you. Are you in chapter 1, Mr. Projector? Yes, she makes this statement. In chapter 1. But Ruth replied, verse 16. Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. It's one of the greatest statements of loyalty in the whole Bible. Your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. Is it powerful words? Wherever you go, I will go. And God rewarded her for her loyalty. Are you listening? But now, let me explain to you quickly. And then what happened? The story goes on that she comes with her mother-in-law back to the hometown. And the whole town is a small town in Bethlehem. So they hear about how this daughter stayed with her mother-in-law and didn't return. Wow. And they hear about the sadness of Naomi losing the husband, losing the children. Sometimes things happen to people that you don't know why. And a type of bitterness. Later she changed the name because of the bitterness. She called her Mara. Hey! But this daughter stayed with her, you see. And the daughter started to work in the fields to provide for her. At that time, the farmers had different farms and they had different fields. And you get people that used to scurrel. You know scurrel? They pick up the leftovers. It's like a lot of poor people. They can come to the fields after the farmers have finished. They pick up the leftovers. So Ruth was working with scurrel. Ruth was a scurrelar. Picking up the leftovers. But when Boaz came, the owner, a rich man. He was a rich man. He came and he asked his workers, who's that beautiful girl at the back there? They said, this is the girl who came back with Naomi. Because the whole town, they know each other. This girl came back with, she's a Moabite. She's not the Israelite. She's a Moabite. Maar sy is mooi. Of sy het gebuk en opgetel en hy saw something he should not have seen. But Immediately he liked her. And then he said to her, if you scuttle, don't scuttle in the other farms. Stay on this farm. You see, God now is starting to work in the invisible. Things you don't know. Favor is coming to you because of your loyalty. Yeah. God is not a man that he should be blind not to see. He saw the loyalty of this girl to her mother-in-law and the promise that she made, I will stay with you till the end. It's an uncommon thing. So when you start to do this, the blessing of God is ignited. And a man comes and you find favor in his eyes. So she came back and the man said to the guys, listen, that girl, make sure she's not treated like the other scarlars. You know, are you rude with people? Hey, when you call crappy and may draw me. But I said, that one, don't you do that. And don't just let them pick up the leftovers. Throw some of the stuff out, asperis. You know asperis? You throw, it's like on purpose. Leave it there on purpose that she can pick up more. And she started to pick up more. So she went back and she told the mother, the Naomi said, "Waar kry jy die God? Where do you get all this?" Then she said, "I was gleaning in the field of a man called Boaz." Wow. And Naomi said, do you know that guy? He's a rich guy. He's part of our family. He was close to my husband in the family line. Now, I'll tell you what. And then she gave her an instruction. Say instruction. You stay close to him. Because he has the power to bless you. Not everybody has power to bless you. You must be very careful. You must use wisdom. Not everybody is designed to move you forward in your future. Are you listening? And eventually, they married, but she married because the woman told her what to do, you see. And she followed the instruction. Most of you are not blessed because you don't follow instructions. Yeah. She told her, wash yourself, I'll have your swill coats. Maak jou lekker skoon, trek 'n mooi rokkie aan. And she gave her an instruction and she just did exactly what she did. And eventually she married. But we'll unpack that story a little further. I just want to give you some principles quickly. Number one, Moab, this lady, she came from a past that you would never think she would be blessed. Amen? She was a Moabite girl raised in a heathen family. Heathen people don't worship God. And actually, the origin of Moab was, it was Lot was drunk and the daughters had sex with him in the book of Genesis. And a boy was born called Moab. He was the father of the Moabites. So it's a little, it's an ugly past. How many of you have an ugly past? In other words, you're not proud to say my father was a drunkard and my mother was a this. I don't even know who my father was. You see. Boaz himself, he was from the loins of Rahab, the prostitute who was in the city of Jericho when Joshua them came to march to destroy the city. She was a prostitute in the city, and the Bible says that she was saved because she helped the children of God when the spies came to spy the land. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? But so the two of them together, one born from a prostitute or from the lineage of a prostitute, one from Moab, that people who don't serve God, the two of them came together. And from them came the loins of the greatest men the Bible ever records. First of all, David came from them because they gave birth to a boy called Obed. Obed gave birth to a boy called Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. David was the father of Solomon. And from the loins of David through the generations, Jesus Christ was born. I'm here to tell you that it doesn't matter what your past looks like. Your future is bright. Your future is bright if you can press on towards the future. Most people get stuck in the past. And they just talk about the wickedness of the past and the failures of the past. And how bad the past has treated them. But it doesn't matter where you come from. If this woman was a Moabitess, she's been included in the lineage of Jesus, the one who would come to save the world. Ruth. Wow, powerful, isn't it? God never consults your past to determine your future. Satan will remind you of your past and your mistakes of yesterday, but you mustn't listen to Satan. Your past is over. I said your past is over. But now you must act like it. You must live like it. Hallelujah. And you must talk like it. Glory to God. Yesterday I was telling my leaders, stop hiding and being so inferior. Stand rechup, man. Chest out, stomach in. Your past is over. Walk like it, live like it. Amen. I was talking to the premier of the city. What's his name? Alan Windy. He had a meeting here in Delft. And I wanted to be there because it affects my people. And I dressed differently to the other people. So when it was time for questions, they look over the crowd. All the hands are up. They see here's a man with a jacket, neatly dressed. Ah, let's hear what he has to say. It's so simple. Naomi told Ruth, "Wash for your trek for your aunt, change your clearer, because you must adapt, you see, so that the people see, he's a man, I'm not the same as the rest. I'm with a lot of poor people, but I'm not poor. I will not stay. I was poor, but I won't stay in my past." So I could stand up and speak. No, I didn't. I told him what to do. I told you I'm going to tell the government what to do. And they were shocked. And afterwards, the TV cameras came to me and said, "Can you stay? We want to interview you because we've never heard someone speak like you speak in such an environment." And I'm on TV. I don't know if you saw it. SABC. Free channel. Do you know your best days are ahead of you? I'm telling you, your best days are ahead of you. Some of you had difficult experiences just now, a few days ago, and a few months ago, and a few years ago, but your best days are ahead. And your worst days are behind you. But quickly, there are three types of people in your life. They are called yesterday's people, today's people, and tomorrow's people. Are you listening? And those people that God used yesterday may not have a place in your future. I'm teaching you something important because many of us, we want to take yesterday's people into our future. But yesterday's people don't have a place in your future. There's a price you're going to have to pay to leave some of yesterday's people behind. Otherwise, you will never go into your future. Don't make the mistake that many people make. We want to prove to our old friends that we are successful. No, no, no. You're going to have to say goodbye to some of them. Are you listening? Otherwise, you will never get to where God wants you to go. I've had pastors that guided me in the past, but I had to move on. They even called me back, said, "Come, no, no, no. If I stayed with you, if I welded myself to them, I would never have entered my future." My family also. And I'm saying this so many times. If you can't be separate, look, this lady from Moab, she left her family in Moab to go with her mother-in-law who lives in Israel. Ah! If she stayed in Moab, she would not have been the wife of a kinsman redeemer, a man with farms, with workers, securities, and armor bearers. She wasn't a lady in a Wendy. She was a first lady of Boaz. Are you with me? But she had to let go of her past, her kings, her family, her religion. What was her religion? There's no God there. There are these small other gods, heathen gods, stones, rocks, and leave it behind because your future is brighter than your past. I'm preaching. Hallelujah. Move quickly toward the promise of God. Prepare to enter your future. Hallelujah. If I didn't move where I moved, I would never have stood in certain places. I stood in the world, in front of great men of God in the world. I would have still been a small pastor in a struggling township. But God has moved me because I had to leave my past. And my past is not always pretty. Ugly things in the past. But I can't try to fix it. Leave it. Move. Leave it. Move. Press to a brighter tomorrow. Aye. And prepare to enter your future without yesterday's people. Are you listening? Because you will not make the mistakes of yesterday again. Isn't it true? You have now more knowledge than you ever had in your whole life. And tomorrow, you will have even more knowledge than you had in your whole life. Because you take even today's lessons into tomorrow. Are you with me? You have learned from the pain. Have you learned from the pain? You have learned from your losses. Oh, yeah. And you have watched what happened in other people's lives. I hope you do. Some are so blind they can't see what happened in other people's lives. And I want to encourage you this morning. The Holy Spirit is your enabler. He enables you. As you go into your future, don't be afraid of the people that you're going to leave behind. The Holy Spirit is with you. Acts 1 verse 8, he promises that he will give you power. He says, you will receive power. Hallelujah. Kayaboshataka. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Look, man, I stood in the wisdom center. I can't even explain. It's about 10 times as big as this. Different walls, different venues. And then the man says, why don't you speak to my people? A man that's on television in front of millions, he says to me, small pastor here from the Cape, speak to my people, teach my people, the people who listen to him every day, wisdom. He says, no, you have something inside of you. Just because I spoke to him a few minutes, he said, wow, you have something inside of you. It must be known. You see, if I stayed in my past, if I tried to prove to my old church that I can be, no, I moved on. Amen. Kaya bonda sheka. Hallelujah. He will enable you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses. He will be your comforter. John 15:26. He will be your comforter. I will send you the Holy Spirit. The advocate. He will come to you from the Father. He will testify. He will be your teacher. John 14:26. He will be your teacher. You don't need your people of the past. You only need the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this lady, Ruth, was willing to leave it all behind. Everything that was comfortable to pursue her future. You see, Jason was comfortable even here with us. It was nice. So he had to. The decision to move here into an unknown place. Yeah, you might say, let's stay with Slekei. You would not have entered into the greatness that he will have now. I was talking to Altina and Justin in Nice, and she said, wow, Pastor, I'm glad that it was a hard decision to move, but now that we've come here, we see it was a great thing because the future is brighter. The future is brighter than the past. But you can't stay there. You must move. Are you here? Ruth would not let the weight around her neck sabotage her future. She refused to let the past rob her of the potential of tomorrow. Friends, don't be satisfied where you are. Be grateful. But never satisfied. Because today is the present. The past, yes, tomorrow, yesterday's people is gone. Now you're in today's people. I'm here to tell you, don't be satisfied with today. Be grateful, but never satisfied. If you're happy with what you have, you will never move forward. Are you happy with what you have now today? No. The future is where you must move to. Amen? The future is where you must move to. Very important. Do not be satisfied. Be intolerant of your past. You see? Be intolerant of your future. That's why I say, I'm not happy with this. I'm not happy with these numbers. We're about 1,000 people. You think I'm happy? I'm not happy. I'm grateful, but I'm not happy. I want 2,000. Then I want 3,000. Then I want to build a bigger place. Yeah. If you are going to be satisfied with what you have, you will not get something better, I'm telling you. Don't see your life as you have accomplished everything. You have accomplished nothing. Do you know the great things that God has in store for you? The Bible says, the plans I have for you, you could never fathom. You could never fathom. You could not know the length, the breadth, the depth of the things that God has for you. Hallelujah. Believe by faith, you are standing in new dimensions, new things. I never dreamt I could speak to 10,000 people. Some years ago in Ghana, Bishop Dag put a mic in my hand and I spoke to about 8,000 pastors, and outside was overflows of another 2,000 people. Never thought it possible, but I let go of my past. The people of my past called me back, come, let's fix things. We can start things. I said, it's gone. It's over now. I've moved on. Hallelujah. Don't build your future around your past. And don't be comfortable in the present. And don't build your lifestyle around painful experiences. Ministers, my oma visi, my grandmother, everybody who greeted her, she said, have I told you about my operation already? She just kept going back to the pain of the past. She never moved forward. Are you listening? Don't let your conversation be consumed with things that happened 10 years ago. It's dangerous and it's devastating. Because words are life. Amen? Words impart life. Don't give life to painful experiences. Don't keep talking about the things of the past. You can remember it as lessons, but not to keep picking it up. Bishop Patrick told us they were in an accident and they were rushing to hospital, and the one guy in the car kept saying, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. And Bishop Patrick said, shut up! Don't speak death in this car. Aye, because words are life. Hallelujah. When you replace the past, when you replay the past too much, you poison the present. If you want to be an achiever, you must let yesterday die. This is what Ruth did. Hallelujah. She didn't talk about Moab. She didn't talk about the mother's house. She didn't talk about the church she went to there. She had now connected herself to Naomi and said, where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. Hallelujah. Abram made a mistake. I'm closing. Listen, God said to Abram, and I want you to listen, get out from your people to a land that I will show you, to a bright future. But he said, I'm used to having my cousin Lot with me. He's an old cousin from the past. Can't I take him with me into my future? But God had told him, leave your family behind. Aye! And when he took Lot with him, all the mistakes and the problems of his life was because he took this man from the past with him into his future. I'm preaching. Don't take people from the past who God never told you to go with you into the future. You must cut some people out to move. Otherwise, you will stay behind. Are you listening? The biggest mistake of Abraham. Took Lot with him. continual problems. Paul was first called Saul. He had a terrible past. He killed Christians and he murdered people, stood with the jackets of the stone throwers while they were killing Stephen the martyr. But he did not stay in his past. When he started to do the work, the people was afraid. They said, "Hey, this is the guy who used to kill the Christians." But Paul said, "I forget those things which are behind me. I press towards the mark of a higher calling. Yeah, I was an evil man. I killed the people I didn't understand that time. But that is my past. I'm not going to bring up my past all the time. I am now a servant of God and I'm an apostle. And I've left my past behind. I've moved forward." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is just natural you want to bring everyone with you into your future. But only few can qualify to go with you into your future success. Hallelujah. Your future must be earned, friends. It is not guaranteed. Do you want a bright future? You must earn it. It's not because Pastor Chris said you'll have a bright future, then you will have it. No, it's not like that. You must earn it. You need to do what I say. You must leave some people behind. Leave the past behind. Amen. Then God will bring the right people into your life to help you. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't use old wineskins for new wine. Praise God. I'm closing now. I like this statement. Your future is a harvest produced by the seeds you are willing to sow now. Are you listening? Move away from yesterday. You have already used up all the benefits there. Don't waste your energy. Don't waste your energy. When something is finished, it is really finished. Will you chew on the same food in your mouth for 3 hours? No. When the record gets stuck in the groove, will you keep listening to the record that's stuck? No. Will you read the same page of a book for 3 days? No. When something is finished, it is finished. Hey. When something is finished, it is finished. You must move on. You must move on. So I don't know how many of you will move on to the new dimension. I've explained to you that God practically, visibly, clearly spoke to my spirit. A new dimension is coming. You must move on. But only loyal people like Ruth the Moabitess will have the glory that she had. She said, "Wherever you go, I will go." You see, God will give you new people to connect to in your new season of life. You must be willing. The fact that you want to carry everything with you, you can't go far. You're not willing to pay a price to leave some people behind. They will give you the problems they gave Abraham. You must let it go. New things. Say new things. It's about to come to you. It is coming to you. Focus. Keep your focus on your future. Not on your past. Not even on the present. No, no. There's something better ahead. Give that Philippian scripture again. I press forward. I like it. I press to reach the end of the race. In verse 15. Ah, there it is. I have not yet achieved, but I focus. I forget the past. And I look forward to what lies ahead. Verse 14, he says, I press to reach the end. Or I press for a better tomorrow. Bow your heads in prayer, we pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand to your feet, everybody. There's a very important scripture that says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Amen. The old things will pass away and all things will become new. As I'm preaching here this morning, everybody bow your heads, close your eyes. You see, even looking around can be a distraction. Don't let distractions disturb your focus. And let him flow. Don't distract the service, please. Listen. If any man or woman is in Christ, you are a new creature. The old things have passed away. Everything now will become new. You that are listening to my voice, if you have been serving God or in a church, but there's not a lot of new developments in your life, then something is wrong. Something in your life is wrong. If there was no growth, no sign of what has changed, if I call you up and ask you, what has changed in your life from last year to this year, and you can't tell me, then something is wrong in your life. But today I've brought the word of God to you. And it's not just words, because everybody must preach. The words I speak to you, they are life and they are spirit. And it can ignite the start of the change in your whole life. So I want to pray for people before I go. And you say, Pastor, it's me that you must pray for. That I can start to go forward now. And let go of the past.